All right, good evening. Always a pleasure and a joy to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Amen. Take a little break off of the world that we work in and come to God's house and be in fellowship one with another. It's always a blessing. So grateful that you're all here tonight. If you wouldn't mind turning to Ephesians 5 and verse 17. And we're going to jump into the middle of the passage a little bit, but tonight's kind of going to be a little bit more of a topical message, a little bit more of a doctrine message, so we're not going to be sticking around in Ephesians 5 for the whole night, but we'll be coming back there frequently. So Ephesians 5, in verse 17, it says this, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." You know, I've been reading through this passage frequently. Actually, when I first got saved, this was one of the first passages I read the next morning after I got saved, and the Lord spoke to me just so clearly through this passage and how my life should be completely different after getting saved, after coming to know Him as my Savior, after being born again. And so this passage has always been on my heart. Frequently, it's always been a dear place to me in God's Word. It always brings me back to those moments after getting saved and feeling that excitement and that fire in you and knowing that God has so much for you, so much to learn, so much to grow in. And so I keep on going back to this passage, and as I go back to this passage, each time I kind of emphasize on something a little differently to study, emphasize on something a little bit differently to look at. Often, it's husbands, love your wives, because yeah, we all know how often we can sometimes fail at doing so, or at least loving her in the way she needs to be loved instead of the way I think she needs to be loved. Sometimes it's about making sure that we are careful about what we let into our homes. But this time, as I was reading through it, and as pastor's been preaching the messages on the church and on the members in particular, I was struck with the thought of Christ being the head of the church and the Savior of the body. And so tonight we're going to be focusing on that very message. The title of tonight's message is going to be, "The Head of the Body is Christ." So before we continue, let's go to tonight in prayer. Brother Tony Piper, could you pray for us?
Father, as your word has been read, Lord, we just ask that you speak to our hearts here and meet with us. And Lord, we just ask that you bless Father Trump and use him as your instrument. Father, we just pray we will this time.
Amen. You may be seated. So one of the good parts about preaching this message to this church is that I have no doubt that most of us, we are either have been in the military or are closely associated with the military. We kind of understand, we have an idea of the importance of a chain of command. We have an importance of authority, and we can kind of see that, especially in the families of prior military service members or maybe even current military member service, that there's typically much greater order. At least I've seen that in traveling around and seeing other churches. Our church has something special in that we have that connection with the military. It gives us a much greater, or at least it seems to give us a much greater view and importance on order and on discipline and on authority in our church. You know, authority is so very important in a church, and you know, it's as we look around at other churches, the thing that that's lacking nowadays, or at least in other organizations, other things that call themselves churches, but really they're not. But what they're lacking in is authority, and you can see that. You can see the authority, and that authority is in the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we go through this message, I really want to really pound on the importance of Christ being the head of the church, the importance of what that means. What does that mean that Christ is the head of the church? And what does that mean to us who are members in particular? And as I said, as pastor's been going through his series on Sunday nights about and our theme about the church and members in particular, it's just been pounding into my head more and more the importance of what it means to have the headship of Christ. And, you know, and through some personal experiences or personal witnessing of so-called churches nowadays who don't have that authority and the mess that it gets themselves in. And so tonight's not only going to be a message about how important Christ is as the head, but what happens really when we don't have Christ as our head, or when we remove ourselves from Christ as the head. And so we're going to take a look at that tonight. So first of all, I want to take a look at this, the head. I want us to just really truly understand what Christ is as the head of the church means. So first of all, Christ is the authority of the body. Christ is the authority of the body. Turn to Ephesians 1, verse 19. We're going to be turning in some pages a lot. As I said, this is more of a topical message, so I'm going to need everyone to stay awake and alert tonight and be turning some pages. And I love to hear the ripple of the pages of the Bible anyway. So Ephesians 1 and verse 19, it says this. It says, "But other of the apostles saw I none save..." that's Galatians. Sorry, Ephesians 1. Ephesians, I told you Ephesians 1. I need to go there now. All right, Ephesians 1 verse 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him on at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Christ is the highest authority in his body. Christ is the highest authority in his body, and everything that he has written to his churches is authoritative. You know, it saddens me how often we get into God's word or we see so many people getting into God's word and reading it and then going away and saying, "Well, that was nice," or "That was, you know, sure, that was encouraging," but never taking that and saying, "No, this is authoritative. This is an authority in my life. This is an authority in my walk as a believer." But then to take that to the church and say, "No, this is the authority in our church. This is how our church is to run." We don't call ourselves a New Testament Baptist church for no reason, because we are supposed to be living and running our church according to the principles that we find and commandments that we find in the New Testament. So Christ is the highest authority in this body. Christ has been exalted to the highest place of honor. As it says in our passage, "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." God has exalted Christ to be the head of the body. Christ is the only one who can hold this position. Christ is the only one who can hold this position in the body. If Christ is removed as the head, then the body dies. You know, we're not like a worm where if you cut it in half, it still wriggles for a while. Once the head is removed from the church, the body dies. We see that in Revelations 2 verse 1. Go to Revelations 2 verse 1. We see it in the message, or in John's, the letter from Christ to the church at Ephesus. And I found it interesting that here in Ephesians, you know, we've read in Ephesians 5 and now in Ephesians 1, talking about Christ being the head of the church. And then we find in Revelations not long afterwards, we see that this is being written to the church of Ephesus. And it says in verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, being the Lord Jesus Christ. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else, look at this, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. They had in some way removed Christ from being head over the body. They had removed themselves. They had left their first love. They had left Christ. See, they were doing all these things, and they were trying to be a church that was still operating under authority. But Christ was saying, no, you've left me. You've left your first love. And so because of that, I will, if you do not repent of that, I will have to remove your candlestick. I will have to take away the authority that I have placed in the body. At Ephesus, the church is the only thing that can remove itself from the head. The church is the only thing that can remove itself from the head. And, you know, there may be people that come in and try and mess things up. I love that sermon that's typically passed around here, the wolves sermon, and how dangerous it is for wolves or for people to come in and try and, you know, mess things up in the body. But overall and ultimately, it's the church who, if they remove Christ as the head, they are cutting their own head off. They are removing themselves. There's no one else that can remove Christ as the authority. We can read the Bible and say, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to do that anymore. This isn't the kind of music we're going to listen to. This or play in have in our services. This isn't the kind of Bible that we're going to have in our services. We can do those things. We can remove ourselves from the head, or we can remove really the head from the body. And, you know, as I said, if we remove the head, if we remove that authority, if we remove Christ as the authority of this church, then it will stop being a church. It will stop being a body of Christ. And so Christ is the authority of the body. Secondly, Christ is the mind of the body. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, Christ is the mind of the body. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, it says this, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Hold on. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, man. I need to look at my sheet a little bit better here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. It says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we," and remember, this is in the context, this is Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, "but we," meaning the church at Corinth, "have the mind of Christ." He's speaking to the church of Corinth, and he's speaking to all of us as a whole, all of us have the mind of Christ, meaning the body, or meaning the word of God. But the thing is that we have the mind of Christ. He's saying how important it is for us to know God's word as a body, and if we all are seeking to know God's word and living according to God's word, then we as a church will have Christ as the mind of the body. If we're living according to God's word, according to what He has written in His word for us to do in His body, then we, being the church, are the mind of Christ, because we're living according to His word. In Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We, as his members of His body, we need to have the same mind, the same likeness of mind as Christ. And in doing so, Christ reveals His acceptable and perfect will to His members, to the members of His body. In Romans 12, verse 2, he says this, He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The body cannot know God's perfect and acceptable will unless it conforms and transforms its mind to His, to being, to reflecting who He is and what He has given us to do. And this speaks right into Christ's authority. There is authority in God's word. There's authority in His church. We are, and He is the head, the authority of the church. The church is to be run through His word, which is the mind of Christ, and through it we ought to be governing it. And I say we because the church is the authority. We are all the authority that are. We are all delegated authorities, which I'll get to in a minute here. But we are all given delegated authority as God's body or as the body of Christ, and we ought to be running it as Christ has put in His word to do so. So Christ is the mind of the church. Thirdly, Christ is the sustainer of the body. Christ is the sustainer of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. And yes, it is 1 Corinthians this time. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse in 14. It says this. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, but I am not, or I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. As it hath pleased Him. But now God hath, in verse 18, I'll read that again. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Christ is the sustainer of the body. Christ adds to the members to His body as He sees fit. You know, yes, we go out and do a lot of work. We go out and do a lot of evangelism and the Hope Ministry and visitation and VA home and nursing home. We go out and plant churches. We have missions works. But it's ultimately Christ who adds to His body. It's Christ who sustains His body. If Christ desires not to have us a body added for a year or 2 years or 5 years, that's His choice. It is His body, and He sustains it. He is the head, therefore He is also the sustainer of the body. And He, being the carpenter, being the head, He fitly joins the body to do His purpose. And each body is fit distinctively. You know, we often will, go to a different church, and I've done this, and I'll go to a different church, and they're doctrinally sound, and they seem to be preaching God's word, properly. But sometimes you just say they're just not Calvary, and in a way that's a good thing, because I'm not a member there, I'm a member here, and so Calvary to me is my church, and it's the church I ought to be an active member in. And so when I go to other churches, I really shouldn't be comparing it, because they have a distinctive body of their own. And they have a different purpose that God has given them. They have a different members who each have different personalities that God has given them for their distinctive purpose. Now, in a second, we'll see that we all have an underlying purpose that is the same. But in Wisconsin, and where I'm from, they're very different people up there, and they have very different personalities up there than we do. We have quite a good mix, and I blame that on the military. I think it's a good thing of how the difference of personalities and the different places we come from. But in Wisconsin, they're a different breed up there. And their church runs very differently than ours do. But you know what? It's a church that is for that area. It's not for here. It's not for here because Christ sustains that body the way He adds members to it. And He sustains our body the way He adds members to our body. And so, speaking to myself here, before we go and judge other churches based on how we are, we need to stop and say, you know what? God's added members there for its purpose. Right. Amen. God has added members. We are blessed by our church. No doubt about it. We are blessed by our church. But we should never get on any high horse and say, our church is better than any other church for such and such a reason or whatever the case may be. We need to have loyalty to our church, to the body. But we need to look at that body and say, what? Christ has a different purpose, a different goal here, or a different membership here that He has filled each of those members for a certain reason or a certain purpose. And so we ought to see that and say, you know what? Christ is the sustainer of the body. You know, just because a church isn't like ours doesn't mean it's wrong. Now, obviously, if they're wrong doctrinally, if they're wrong in many ways, if they're not using the Bible the way they should or preaching the way they should or using the right Bible or using the right music, then there's some issues there. But for the majority of it, we just need to see them and see their own distinctive body. And that's a good thing. As pastor's been preaching, how great it is for us to be an autonomous body. Because what we do here doesn't affect what they do there. And what they do, it doesn't affect us. But it's still we are still bodies of Christ. And he is still the sustainer of the body. You know, I've heard, go to Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Christ gives each member his or her place and the gifts of the Spirit to perform their work in the church as he leads them. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says this. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." You know, he gives different people gifts and abilities to meet what he has put them in the body for. You know, one thing I've heard multiple times is that one of the most dangerous times in a church is when a new pastor comes in or when there's a change of pastorate and you know, but however, if the church is seeking the sustainment of that position from Christ, then there should be nothing to worry about. There should be no major issues. You know, pastors may change, deacons may change, even memberships may change. I mean, I don't know how many times have I heard, I believe it was from Brother Sam, when he said he came here and they went through a crazy time in the church and they went down to like a couple families from like a lot and then they went all the way back up. I mean, all the members changed for the majority of it. But yet, the head never changes. The head never changes. People come and go, pastors come and go, but the head never changes. And if we focus on Christ as the sustainer, you know, if our church, if the standards and the doctrinal teachings and the positions of our church are based on the authority God has given us, based on God's word, based on the mind of Christ, and not on the pastor, then we have nothing to worry about. You know, it's a problem when a pastor leaves and all of a sudden all the standards go away. Or the pastor leaves and all of a sudden the music changes. Or the pastor leaves and all of a sudden we stop using the King James Bible as we ought to. Because that church was maybe built on the convictions and the standards of the pastor and not on Christ, the head and the sustainer of the body. If we're focused on building our church on God's word and not on the convictions of one or two people, then we will be sustained. Christ will be able to sustain that. Christ will be able to lift us up and to help us through those times of change. Yes, there'll be difference of personality. Yes, there'll be difference of maybe preaching styles. But overall, we are sustained by the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the body. And if we're going through major issues because of a change in pastor, then we have to stop and say, and we as a whole, I pray we don't have a change of pastor anytime soon. But when the time comes, and it will come, we have to stop and say, is this the church's stand? Or is it just the pastor's stand? Is this the church? Are we basing our church on the mind of Christ and not on a pastor, not on a deacon, or not on the members thereof? So Christ is the sustainer of the body. Christ then is also the commissioner of the body. In Matthew 28, verse 18, we all know this passage very well. Matthew 28, verse 18. Christ is the one who gives the commission to the body. He is the head, and therefore he has every right to commission the body to his will, to do his purpose. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." You know, though different churches may have different ministries, every church has been commissioned by its head to go forth to teach and to perform the church ordinances, to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We all have a commission. You know, there may be some churches that have jail ministries. There may be some churches that have nursing home ministries or scripture ministries or so on. There may be different ministries in different churches, but we all have a commissioner, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has very clearly put forth his commission for us to do. As I said, Christ adds to his body according to the membership. You know, what's sad is growing up in contemporary style, quote unquote churches. You know, one of the ways that they try and get out of soul winning, out of the responsibility of our commission is by saying, well, you know, some people have the gift of evangelism, and they call evangelism, you know, soul winning or sharing the gospel. Some just don't, you know, and they take away the responsibility of all of us as a commission. We cannot do this apart from all of us doing it together, because it is commissioned to the church, not to certain individuals, but to the church. It wasn't commissioned to the pastor or to only certain or to ministry leaders. It was a commission to the church. Go ye therefore, not go thee, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I ever commanded you. Christ is the commissioner of the body. We cannot forget that we all have a commission. No church should ever neglect to perform the commission that's set by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as the creator and the head of the body, Christ has clearly stated his design and his purpose for his churches. And this is not an optional thing to do. This is not an optional thing. It's the responsibility on every member of the body to perform the commission wherefore Christ has commissioned us. We have to do it, and we have to do it together. We have to see Christ as the head. We have to understand that Christ is the head and submit to that headship and say, you know what? This is the commission for the church. Our underlying goal is to perform this commission. Our underlying everything that we do, every ministry that we do is to go to teach all nations and teach them the gospel and see people saved and see people baptized and teaching them. You know, so many times you see churches that will go and they have a great visitation program, and then they get people baptized, and then all of a sudden what? There's no more classes, no nothing, and you know, they just expect them to just kind of learn and grow as on their own. But it says clearly that we're to be teaching them, and I love that our church has discipleship classes and Bible studies and men and women who are willing to mentor younger men and women or younger in the faith to teach and to disciple us in the way we should go. You know, when I got saved here, I'm so glad for those classes. I went and you know, thankfully we took most of those classes after I got saved, and it's taught me so much, and it's brought me, I believe, to where I am today in understanding God's word and understanding how important that is in the commission. But Christ is the commissioner. Christ is the commissioner of the body, and then Christ is the savior of the body. Go back to Ephesians 5, verse 23. Christ is the savior of the body. It says in Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Christ purchased the body with his own blood. He bought the rights of ownership through his own life. Christ owns the copyright of his design and his purpose for his churches. You know, there are no other types of churches other than that what he has laid out in his word. You know, it's not up to any man or any organization to say how a church ought to run. It's not up to any man or organization to see what kind of music we should use, what kind of Bible we should use, what kind of ministries we should have, what we're commissioned for, what our doctrines of teaching should be. That is up to Christ. He purchased the body with his own blood, and he designed it for a specific purpose and a goal, and he gave us his word for us to use to base our churches off of it, to base his body off of it. There's no other way, there's no other type of church besides what the Lord has designed and created us to be. There are no design flaws, there's no changes allowed, there's no updated versions. You know how often you hear, oh, well, that's an outdated way of doing things. That's the old school way. That's the, what they call the old time way, right? No, it's not. It's just as relevant today as it ever has been. Christ bought this body. Christ bought and purchased the church with his own blood. And only he has the right to say how it ought to run. Only he has the right to say what kind of music we should use or what kind of Bible we should have. Well, we should have the Bible, God's Word. There is only one. It's his right to say how we ought to be teaching, how we ought to be preaching his Word. It's his right to give us authority. It's his right as to how the Lord's Supper should be performed or how baptism should be performed. Those are the things he designed and purchased with his own blood and bought and copyrighted with his Word. We have no right to change it. No one has any right to change it. And Titus 2:1. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, nor given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." None of this should be outdated. None of this sound doctrine should be old time. This is all just as important today as it was then. It says, in all things, in verse 7, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." It says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from the iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Where does that authority come from? From the God's word. From his word. And he has laid those things out. These speak what has become, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That doctrine has not changed. God's word has not changed. Therefore, that doctrine has not changed. It has not gotten outdated. God's word is just as relevant to the church today as it ever always has been. Christ is the Savior of the body, and he alone has the copyright of how it should be. And there is no man or no organization or no church that has any say in that. So Christ is the authority of the body. Christ is the Savior of the body. Christ is the sustainer and the commissioner of the body. So then what does that mean for us as the body? What does that mean for us as the body? Now, we need to understand that's important to us because of who we are, what our positions are in the body. So first of all, we are members. Christ is the head. We are the members. In Romans 12, verse 4, go back to Romans 12. In verse 4, we are the members. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." As members of this particular body, we each have a role to perform. We each have a role to perform. However, no one's role is the head. No one's going to get that. No one's role is the head. You know why? Because that role is performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else can be that head. There's no position in the body whose purpose is to think of how everything else should be done or what everyone else should be doing. That's Christ's job. He adds the body as the members as he sees fit, and he fits us together in a proper way. It says fitly joined, and it's him who decides what we ought to be doing and where we ought to be doing it. No one else's role. You know, no functioning member is any more or less important than anyone else. No functioning member is any more or less important than anyone else. 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 20. It says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we would bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Since all members are equally important, we should all be performing what Christ has placed us in the body for. You know, as I was thinking about, no one should want to be the appendix. No one should want to be the appendix thinking yourself important, but no one knows what you do. We ought to be a functioning and purposeful member in the body. The appendix has to have a purpose, but they sure rip it out easily. But we all need to be functioning and performing in the roles that God has placed us here for. Amen. Equally important to being members of the body and submitting yourself to Christ and to one another is your place in the home. As I was reading in Ephesians, go back to Ephesians 5. One thing that really struck me is how this goes hand in hand with the family. As Pastor just recently said, the church is no more or less important than the family, and there's no church without the family. And so family is just as important. But if you notice here, in verse 22 through 25, Christ gives us the wives and husbands how we ought to be in the family, how we ought to love us. The husbands need to love our wives as Christ loves the body, and how the wives need to submit to their husbands as Christ is the head of the church. And so as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, I need to fully submit to the idea that Christ is the head of the church in order to be able to understand my place in the home. I need to fully understand. If you see that, it says for the husband in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. You have to understand that in order to understand the first part. Even as Christ is the head of the church, we have to understand that and fully submit to that in order to know for the husband to be the head of the home and the wife to submit to him. We have to fully understand that and fully submit to that. We can't be at church and thinking to ourselves, and trying to be the head and thinking to ourselves, no, this is how it should go and this is how it should be, and I wish we didn't have to do this, and I wish this wasn't this way, and then go home and fully submit to our husbands. Or as the man, we can't go to the church and cause divisions or, you know, and cause problems or offend other people, and then go home and properly love our wives. They go hand in hand. We have to fully do both. We have to fully do both. We have to fully understand and submit to the way God has laid it out. The man has to be the man. The man has to be the head of the home in order for Christ to be head of the church. Because if the woman is the head of the home, then how is she going to submit to God, Christ as the headship of the church? If the man is not the head, how is he going to know how to submit to God as the head? How is he going to have that responsibility and that understanding of what the head of the home is and what the head of the church is? If a man doesn't love his wife as he ought to, then how is he going to go to church and know how to love the body as Christ loves the body? We have to do these things hand in hand. We can only truly submit to our proper place in the body if we are in the proper place in the home. And that is with the wife's submission, the husband's love, and then even in Ephesians 6, verse 1, the children's obedience. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. You know, I tell my children all the time, your number one responsibility while you are in the home is to obey your parents. That's what the Bible lays out for you. Your number one responsibility. Because you know what? And I tell them this, the more you learn to obey your parents, the more you will learn to submit to the authority of Christ. It is just as important. And, children being equally in the word dependent, and this is what I was explaining in our Sunday school class, a dependent. A child is a dependent, meaning if you are still living off of your father's income, you are obedient to your father. If you're still in the home, you are to be submissive to your parents and to honor them. Whether you're college age or not, you are to be submissive to them and to honor them. And we, in order to fully be submissive to the idea that Christ is the head of the church, you must be submissive to your parents. And just as I said, the husband has to learn to has to love as Christ loves, and the wife has to submit as Christ is the head. And we have to have those things go hand in hand. We are the members. Secondly, we are the commissioned. We are the commissioned. Back in Matthew 28, we read that already. But our commission pertains to us collectively, which means each purpose God has placed us in the body will be used to perform it, to perform the commission. That means that every part has a role in teaching. Every part has a role in going to the world. Every part has a role in who we allow and who we accept into membership of the body. Every part has a role in the commission that God has set forth to the church. And this makes our unity vital to our obedience to the head and to his commission. When certain members are slacking, the whole body will feel it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 says this. When certain members are slacking, the whole body will feel it. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And we know Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. That was one church that had major divisions, major problems. And do you think during those divisions they were performing what Christ had commissioned them to do? No way. There's no way. This is why Paul had to rebuke them for their divisions. As he says in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? The Corinthians were having a problem understanding Christ as the head of the church. And therefore, they were not performing the commission as they were given. And Paul had to deal with that. As I said, this is why our unity is vital in our obedience to his head and his commission. Thirdly, we are the delegates. We are the delegates. In Matthew 18, verse 15, we are the delegates. Christ is the authority of the church, of the body of the church, but he has delegated that authority to us as the church collectively. In Matthew 18, in verse 15, it says this. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as unto thee, or be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's speaking of authority. Our authority in church discipline. Our authority in our baptism. Only the church has the authority to baptize. Our authority in administering the Lord's Supper. Our authority in missions. Missions boards don't have authority. The church has authority. Our authority in teaching and preaching the word. This is why we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. our authority in settling matters between members. Christ specifically says, don't go to the world to settle matters between the members. You have the authority within you. I have delegated that authority to you. Deal with these things among yourselves. You know, the authority is not in any individual members, but rather in the body as a whole. And you know what? We can't understand that authority if Christ isn't in his place of authority. And if Christ isn't in his place of authority, we have no authority. We have no authority. You know, this is why we don't have elder boards, missions boards, administrative pastors. Those are only found in organizations that lack the authority of Christ as the head. They are only found in administration, or in organizations and in units that don't know Christ's authority because they are not the church that they are, that Christ has laid out and has designed and has purchased with his own blood. We are. And so therefore our authority is found in Christ, and we are delegated that authority for those purposes. And lastly, we are the purchased. We are the purchased. In Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. We are the purchased. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Amen. You know, because we have been purchased through the blood of our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to strive to please him in the body that he sanctified to do his will on this earth. No one can love the church like Christ loved the church. No one could have purchased the church like Christ purchased the church. No entity can replace the head of the body. We are owned by God, therefore, as a body and individually, we ought to behave ourselves as being owned by him, as his ownership. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, go back to Ephesians 5. As I said, we'll go back there and we're coming up to a close here. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says this: husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. We are owned by God. He has purchased the church. He has purchased us with his blood. He has given himself for us. Therefore, we are to love him. We are to let him present us a glorious church, not having spot, not having divisions, not having wrinkles, or any such thing, not having imperfections, because God has laid out what his church ought to be in his word. And he has designed it for a purpose. And he has commissioned it. And he has purchased it, so that we will fulfill what he has called us to do. So that we will take the authority that he delegates to us and use it for his glorious purposes, for his commission. We are never to say, well, I think this is how it should be. Or, I wish we didn't have this problem. Or, I wish we didn't have this. Or, I wish we didn't have that. We are purchased. We are his. We as the church, and we individually, we are purchased by him and for him. So that's his call. He is the head. He is the authority. And there's none other. So, by way of application, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure if you're saved, I know this wasn't a salvation message, but the one thing that can stick out to you is this, that your sin was paid for by that same blood that Christ purchased his church. That Christ wants to use you in his churches. That Christ wants to add you to his body to fulfill his purposes. But there's a problem, and that is your sin. And if you're lost tonight, If you're not for sure, if you're not 100% sure that you are going to heaven, if you are not 100% sure that you are saved, then no one can be a member of the body of Christ until they have received his sacrificial atonement unto their account. Christ paid for your sins with his blood. He purchased what you should have to pay for, what you will pay for if you don't receive him as your personal Savior. And I'll tell you right now, if you're lost and you're not sure that you're saved, getting saved isn't doesn't make you a free agent. It doesn't make you a free agent. When you get saved, you ought to become a member of his church and to serve him. And so I want to leave people, and you know, I do this with most people, with everyone that I witness to. I want to leave you with the right expectation. Getting saved isn't just a free pass. That's just the beginning. This is where Christ wants to then start to use you and to fulfill his purposes in his church. As our pastor said multiple times, there are no free agents. There are no people. There's no one that doesn't have to be a part of a church. Christ designed it perfectly that way. He purchased the church with his blood. And he wants you to be a part of it. And so I want anyone who may be lost to have that complete expectation in mind when it comes to being saved. That's not the only thing. There's expectations. But it still does not mean that you should just not get saved. You need to be saved because you are condemned and lost before a holy God. And you're on your way to hell unless you repent of your sins. And through conviction, come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you from your sins by what he did on the cross for you. And we would love to take, we're going to have a moment of invitation here soon, and we would love to take a Bible. If you just come down to the altar, no one will be looking. You can come down to the altar and tell us that you want to know more what it means to be saved. You want to know how you can be used of God. Or maybe, you know, you're even a church member, and you're not sure, and you just want to get that settled tonight. None of us would be upset. Amen. We would all glorify God with you. Right. And then you can really start to be used by Christ in the church. You can really start to understand what it means that Christ is the head and that he purchased you with his blood. We would love to do that. For those maybe who are here tonight and have been slacking in their responsibilities to the body, you know, for those who maybe are, as I said, maybe the appendix, they think they are so important, but maybe no one knows what they do. You know, there should be no inactive members in the body. There should be no inactive members in the church. The body's health and the body's functionality depends on its members to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the head of the church did not add anyone to his body to be dormant. He added us for a purpose. You know, being someone who enjoys construction and seeing how when you're putting a building together and there's so much wood that you just like look and you're like, is that really necessary? But every single piece of the building is important to the structure of that building. And you remove one piece and there will be catastrophic failure. And it's the same thing as a church. And that's why Christ puts that in the building fitly joined, because every single piece is very important to the structure and the functionality of that church. And if one removes itself or does not do what it should do to hold up the weight, there will be failure. There will be failure. And someone might have to Someone may come along and take up a place that they shouldn't be in because someone else is failing in their responsibility. That should never be. Christ is the head, and he placed you here for a purpose, and he gives you the authority for where he puts you. And whether you like it or not, you should be active in that place. Glorify him in your active service in his body, for he purchased you. That's the least we can give back to him. And then for those who are here, who are active and serving God, and there's no conviction, they know that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, I would just give out this grave warning that it is vital that we remember who the head is, that we don't get on our high horses and start to point out, you know, people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, whatever. That's up to Christ to decide. We just need to be doing what Christ has called us to do, has put us in the body to do. That's where our authority lies. And then we need to be thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the body. I'm thankful that he is the authority, and that responsibility of headship is not on me. because I would fail. Christ needs to be the head of the church. And we can come before him in thanksgiving for being the savior of the body. If we're going to function as a body the way that our head has laid out in his word to do, we need to fully understand and to submit to his headship. If we are going to function in the church the way we ought to, we need also function the family the way we ought to, the way that the head has laid out in his word. We need to understand his position in both the family and in the church. Christ is the head. We are the members. Please stand with me.